The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Avra Lewis from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from Essence and Ebony magazines. Our first article today is from Essence. Big Things Poppin', T.I. recognized by Georgia Senate for his philanthropy efforts. For his positive impact on his native city of Atlanta, T.I. was recently given his propers by state government officials. The Grammy Award-winning rapper and actor was honored at the Georgia State Capitol. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution reports that Democratic State Senator Donzella James sponsored a resolution applauding T.I., whose birth name is Clifford Harris, for spearheading several nonprofit organizations, including Harris's Community Works, which works with disadvantaged, and for the Love of Our Fathers, which aids people with Alzheimer's and dementia. The Paper Trail lyricist, who can also be seen on VH1's Family Hustle, is credited for mentoring youth at local area schools, hosting Thanksgiving turkey drives, and delivering Christmas presents to families in need throughout Atlanta. Though he was sentenced in 2009 on weapons charges related to purchasing machine guns and silencers, T.I. has seemingly turned his life around. As part of his post-prison community service, he has donated time and money to worthy efforts, ranging from hurricane relief to Boys and Girls Clubs. In 2016, he even joined hundreds of Atlanta residents in a peaceful protest against the police-involved shooting of black people. From Ebony, black woman sues Harvard over slave photos of her ancestors. According to the Boston Globe, court documents claim the Ivy League school has been exploiting and profiting from images of Lanier's great-great-great-grandfather, Renty, and his daughter, Delia, both slaves in South Carolina. Slavery was abolished 150 years ago, but Renty and Delia remained enslaved in Cambridge, Massachusetts, reads the lawsuit. Their images, like their bodies before, remain subject to control and appropriation by the powerful, and their familiar identities are denied to them. Harvard reportedly gained possession of the black and white images in 1850. They are extremely rare daguerreotypes, early imagery produced by employing an iodine-sensitized silver plate in mercury vapor, and believed to be the first pictures of American slaves. Notes found with the photos suggest the subjects were born in Africa, although importation of slaves was banned for decades before the images were taken. The father-daughter duo appeared nude in the photographs as part of scientist Louis Agassiz's quest to prove that black people were inferior to whites. Since obtaining the images, the university has reprinted them in books and has licensed them for exhibitions and conferences about slave history. For years, Papa Renty's slave owners profited from his suffering, Lanier said in a statement. It's time for Harvard to stop doing the same thing to our family. Lanier's relatives kept an oral history of the male slave. Through those stories, scholarly information, and the help of Boston-based genealogists, she was able to trace ancestry, the Norwich Bulletin reported in July 2018. The plaintiff alleged that she wrote letters to Harvard in 2011 and 2017 outlining her familial link to Renty. First, she asked what would happen with the photos, and then she demanded they be given to her family. Although Lanier said the university responded to her letters, there were no grants on either of her requests. Jonathan Swain, a Harvard spokesman, told the Boston newspaper that the historical school has not yet been served, and with that is in no position to comment on this complaint. Lanier is seeking an unspecified amount of damages. Also from Ebony, Dwayne Johnson criticized by white fans after sharing BET post. Last spring, Dwayne "The Rock" Johnson announced plans to serve as an executive producer on BET's new series, Finding Justice, through his Seven Bucks Productions company. He promoted the series on social media ahead of his March 10th premiere date and was immediately bombarded with hate. A six-part docuseries, Finding Justice, highlights the injustices found within six American cities. Over the course of 3 weeks, Johnson shared three posts about the series. He unknowingly ignited a debate between fans supporting the series or denouncing the star because of his seemingly newfound interest in social justice. On Johnson's initial Finding Justice promo post, the show's teaser highlighted police brutality and the murders of unarmed black civilians, along with commenters distancing themselves from Johnson. Others denied the idea of social injustice in America. One commenter wrote, "Really surprised The Rock would post something like this. There is no true social injustice, only what the media shows the people. It's 2019, not 1950. Let's move on." Another one added, "Do you see the hatred and evil you bring out by posting something like this? I've been a huge fan of yours and have been since your wrestling days. But you fueling a fire with a post like this, that's helping divide this country into a race war. You might have just lost a fan." Johnson then shared a new promo video that provided broader details about the series. One commenter wrote, "Hey, at The Rock, how many woke points does this earn you in the Oppression Olympics? Makes sense to do stuff like this because you've got like seven movies coming out this year. These people need to stop blaming everything for their actions and what puts them in prison. Just saying," another commenter added. The actor's most recent post about voter suppression drew a large response from former fans disappointed in his involvement in the series. A former supporter said, "At The Rock, why are you involved in this agenda pushing? Fake ASS news, racist bull blank, please tell me it's not true." Another ex-John fan referenced his long-time affiliation with the WWE. "Come on, Dwayne. I have been behind you for years, ever since the Hulkster passed you the torch. Now you're basically spitting in my face with this left-wing nonsense," the commenter said. While Johnson's interest in social issues appears to be an overnight change for some supporters on social media, long-time fans know he's been vocal about his stance on political issues for years. After talks of him possibly making a presidential run in 2020, Johnson threw subtle digs at President Donald Trump's administration during an interview with GQ. I'd like to see a better leadership. I'd like to see a greater leadership, he began. When there is a disagreement and you have a large group of people that you're in disagreement with, for example, the media, I feel like it informs me that I could be better. We all have issues and we all got to work our stuff out. And I feel like one of the qualities of a great leader is not shutting people out. The responsibility as president, I would take responsibility for everyone. According to People, he led a nationwide 2017 poll questioning who would be more likely to be elected as president of the United States between him and Trump. During an interview with Rolling Stone, Johnson, who previously played football at the University of Miami, said he would either have knelt or raised my fist in solidarity. In Colin Kaepernick's kneeling protest against police brutality and systemic racial inequality if he were a player in the NFL. He also talked about the importance of highlighting the stories of black folklore legends after he was rumored to be starring in Netflix's upcoming film, John Henry and the Statesman. These diverse characters speak to a legacy of storytelling that is more relevant than ever and span across a worldwide audience regardless of age, gender, race, or geography, Johnson said to Variety. The WWE's first third-generation wrestler, Johnson, made history as the first black man to win the company's world championship title. Before bringing home the title, he was a proud member of the wrestling group The Nation of Domination, N.O.D., who was largely influenced by the Black Panther Party and the Nation of Islam. Just last week, Johnson took social media to clarify questions about whether he identifies as black. Finding Justice may be Johnson's first socially driven feature through $7 Productions, but is not the last. HBO will air the $7 production produced Rock in a Hard Place on March 27th. The series will document the lives of formerly incarcerated young people given a second chance through the Miami-Dade County Corrections and Rehabilitation Boot Camp. The next article is also from Ebony. Trevor Noah jokes about Senator Elizabeth Warren's position on reparations. Let's talk about slavery, the comedian joked. No white people come back. He pinpointed how a once radical idea such as reparations has become a mainstream topic thanks to every one of the 89 Democrats running for president who have gotten on board. South Bend, Indiana Mayor Pete Buttigieg says Senator Elizabeth Warren and Kamala Harris are just a few who have shared support for repaying the African descendants of slaves in America. Noah, a biracial South African who grew up during apartheid, said he welcomes the open discussion but is cautious about whom to believe. I have my eye on you, Elizabeth Warren, he teased. I feel like as soon as reparations have passed, she'll be like, there's something I didn't tell you about my ancestry results. I'm also 1/20th black. The Massachusetts senator apologized last month after erroneous claiming she had Native American ancestry. The Daily Show host presented the other conservative side of reparations dialogue, which says a payout isn't possible because of the cost and or how far removed from slavery we are. There are some people on the right who are willing to consider reparations, Noah added, but unfortunately, what they're saying is that slave ship has sailed. He hit back at this positioning on the issue by comparing it to conservatives who support Confederate monuments. You know, it's funny how with slavery, these people are like, get over it. That's history. But if you try and take down a Confederate statue, it's like, how dare you? That's history. The next article, also from Ebony. Joe Biden considering Stacey Abrams as VP running mate. Axios reports that Biden advisors are discussing the idea of announcing his presidential candidacy with a pledge to choose the voter suppression activist as his vice president. While Abrams would add diversity and excitement to the ticket, advisors are also considering how the move could be read as inauthentic or simply a gimmick to secure the black vote. Reverend Al Sharpton also shared his thoughts on the potential team, saying Abrams' presence could help the former Delaware senator mitigate objections to his treatment of Anita Hill during Justice Clarence Thomas's 1991 confirmation to the Supreme Court. Presidential historian Michael Beschloss noted how unusual it would be for a candidate to announce their running mate so early in the process. Still, he believes the move could ultimately result in smoother governing. If Biden were to name his running mate long in advance of the Milwaukee convention, it might be very good politics. It also might ultimately provide good government. Voters in the primary process deserve to know as much as possible in the future they are opting for. The next article is from Essence. Oprah Winfrey partners with Apple's new streaming platform. Walking into Apple's sprawling headquarters in California felt as if campus was preparing for a celestial arrival. At the end of their star-packed programming, announcing new platforms, Apple News Plus, where our very own April cover with Issa Rae was revealed, Apple Arcade Gaming and Apple TV Plus, media goddess Oprah Winfrey manifested on stage and announced her exclusive partnership with the content giant. We all crave connection. We search for the common ground. We want to be heard. We also need to listen, to be open, and contribute to and harness our hopes and dreams and heal our divisions, says Oprah Winfrey from Steve Jobs Theater. Apple has reimagined how we communicate. I've joined them in order to serve this moment. Their platform allows me to do what I do in a whole new way, to take everything I've learned about connecting people to the next level. Then Winfrey added jokingly that she partnered with them as well, because they are in a billion pockets, y'all. Through Winfrey's Apple TV Plus partnership, she's releasing two new documentaries on toxic work environments. She's releasing two documentaries on toxic work environments and erasing the stigma around mental health. She's also relaunching her celebrated book club through their new content string. There's nothing I love more than being transported by a brilliant book, says Winfrey, and we're going to have the biggest, the most vibrant, the most stimulating book club on the planet. According to Winfrey, her conversations with book club authors will be streamed live throughout Apple stores and across all devices, all borders. Also on hand for the event was Alfre Woodard, who announced her new Apple TV Plus original series, See with Jason Momoa. Also announced were future programming from Jada Pinkett Smith and Octavia Spencer. Also from Essence, Jordan Peele makes history with us at the box office. Jordan Peele's Us has made big bucks in its opening weekend, but it also has made history. After the film generated $70 million over the weekend, it reportedly became the best opening weekend for an original horror movie ever, beating A Quiet Place, according to Variety. It also became the best opening for an original R-rated movie. Peele also surpassed his freshman debut, Get Out, which debuted with a $33 million in 2017. U.S. nearly doubled projections, which estimated a three-day total in the $38 million to $45 million range. The horror flick tells the story of Gabe, Winston Duke, and Adelaide, Lupia, who take their kids on a family trip to Adelaide's old childhood beach house. Soon, the vacation becomes a nightmare when Adelaide becomes increasingly paranoid that something will happen to her family. Peele told Essence earlier this month that he wanted black audiences to see Us first because I make these black horror movies because I want to push the boundaries of representation in my favorite genre. If a version went out there into the world without black people seeing it first, I would have had a problem. It doesn't make sense to me. Congrats to Peele and the team's cast and crew. From Essence, white parents of sick black girl asks black Kansas citizens to register with National Marrow Donor Program. The white family of an adopted 9-year-old black girl who has a blood disorder is pleading with the Black Kansas City area community to register with the National Marrow Donor Program in a bid to save their daughter. According to the Kansas City Star, little Emma Hall was diagnosed with aplastic anemia, a disorder which causes her body not to produce enough blood cells, just last December. The disorder leaves patients feeling tired and they are also more prone to infections and bleeding. A bone marrow transplant can help prompt more blood cells to grow in the affected person, but in such a case, race does matter. As the Star notes, the ethnic background of the patient is key to finding the right donor because markers used in matching are inherited. The rest of the Halls, who are white and adopted Emma at birth in 2010, cannot help the sick child, so they are turning to black Kansas City residents, asking them to register their DNA with the National Marrow Program. Ethnicity does not matter under any other circumstance. It doesn't matter in love, but with this it matters, her mother, Alyssa Hall, who described the 9-year-old as the bravest person she knows, told the newspaper. The disorder has already taken its toll on Emma, who no longer has the energy to run around and play with her older brothers. 17-year-old Jonas and 16-year-old Jaden and other neighborhood kids. She has been in and out of the hospital for months, even prior to being diagnosed properly, and her mother, a former educator, pulled her out of school and started homeschooling her. However, Emma's condition is getting worse. We haven't found a match yet and we are running out of time, Hall said. It's getting worse. We need to stop its progression. You can't live without blood, and she isn't making any. In a push to get help their daughter needs, the Halls hosted a donor drive last Saturday, sponsored by DKMS, and have been encouraging everyone they meet to have their cheeks swabbed. The Halls are also hoping to spread the message that donating bone marrow is a relatively painless process, unlike what some people believe, as the donation is done under anesthesia. It's like giving blood for a couple of hours, Hall said. Some donors have reported side effects such as aches and fatigue, the Star notes. However, being a part of the registry and potentially helping someone by swabbing your cheek is harmless. I stop people in the grocery stores and in Walmart. I show them Emma's picture, Hall told the paper. I tell them you may not be Emma's match, but you can save someone's life. The situation is particularly desperate as Black Americans have a lower registration rate to become bone marrow and stem cell donors and are hugely underrepresented in the donor pool. Some of this is related to generational trauma and a lack of trust in the medical care, given the United States' long and sordid history of mistreatment of African Americans in the health system, from the Tuskegee syphilis experiment to the case of Henrietta Lacks. Still, the Halls remain hopeful. I want to see Kansas City rally like we know how to do, Hall said. I want every Black person in the Kansas City area to show up. I know God is good, even when the circumstances are not. I trust him, she added. I know Kansas City is going to find a match for somebody. I hope it's Emma. Duke University professor shares his guidelines for slave reparations from Ebony. Reparations is a program of compensation to individuals or communities that have been subjected to grievous injustices. The professor explained to show host and producer Pedro Escareva. From my perspective, reparations has three objectives. The first is acknowledgement of the injustices on the part of the perpetrators. Second is redress, which is restitution for the effects of the injustices. Third is closure, which is mutual recognition of the part of the victimized community as well as the perpetrators that the debt has been paid, Darty added. Several Democratic 2020 presidential hopefuls, including Julian Castro, a former mayor of San Antonio, Texas, Senator Elizabeth Warren, Massachusetts, and many others, has openly commented to giving direct financial reparations to African Americans. Well, we have run out of time for today's episode of Ebony. We hope you enjoyed it and be sure to listen next time. I am Avra Lewis, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast at our website, triangleReadingService.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. So long, until next time.